So the next speaker we have is Musica, that will talk about R on OpenBSD. Let's give him a hand.
Thank you. R is a programming language that I use for writing electronic music, and OpenBSD is the operating system that I run on most of my computers, including this here laptop. R, if you were here last year, maybe you were at my music set. You got to see some of my music that I wrote in R. You can use R for many other things, but yeah, that's what I use R for. OpenBSD is an operating system. So first, if we're going to use R on OpenBSD, maybe we should talk about why you would want to use R or OpenBSD. But for me, it's just like I like to use R to write electronic music. Maybe there are people here who use R for statistics. Anyway, but the problem with R is that in many ways, it can be harder to administer, to keep it up to date, to keep packages working. And OpenBSD can help with that. But the problem is there's only weirdos like me who use R on OpenBSD. There may be 10 people who use R on OpenBSD. So it's very common that a package has not been tested on OpenBSD. Agenda for today is to discuss some differences between R or OpenBSD and some alternatives. This will help explain why there can be a problem when you try to install something. Then we'll discuss how to install R and related software on OpenBSD. And then how you can, once you've succeeded at installing these softwares, then you can take advantage of special features that exist in OpenBSD. So some reasons you might use R, you might like these strange language features that it has. One thing I like about R is it has a large stable base, like a standard library. And then there are other packages, and those often don't work, but the base works. And the CRAN, which is the repository of contributed packages, has an interesting approach to testing. This is something I kind of like. You don't say that this package works with these versions of dependencies, but you say these are the dependencies. And if you ever break one of your reverse dependencies, or your package fails its tests, you are required to fix it within a week, or your package gets removed from R, so from the public repository. So you you can't trust that this any particular version combination will work, except that the current version generally works. So those are some interesting features of R. Some interesting features of OpenBSD, differences. Some things that make it difficult to install R and OpenBSD is most people who use R probably use maybe GNU Linux or Mac OS, I'm not really sure, maybe Windows. So you, with different GNU Linux distributions, if you're on the same architecture, you can simply copy a static binary from one to the other, and it usually should work. But OpenBSD uses a different binary format, so that doesn't work. You have to compile special for OpenBSD. And so you have to deal with different versions of compilers and different supported C functions and stuff. Some other differences are the cultural differences. It's kind of the OpenBSD, we often say, is a more cathedral development pattern where there's a large base system. And for example, in many GNU Linux distributions, even the package ed, or the function ed, could be part of a package, and it would be possible to uninstall the true editor, ed. But in OpenBSD, it's part of the base system. You can't uninstall it. Also, OpenBSD puts a lot of attention on documentation, on keeping things simple, and doesn't really care to follow fashions. So we don't have, I live under a rock. I don't know what are the new fashions in GNU Linux. Yes. So anyway, what happened is, because of these differences I just talked about, usually you have a problem with compilation. There could be other problems too. And so you'd have to patch your R packages, and so I'll explain how to do that. And as a last resort, if you can't patch the packages, you can run R in a virtual machine running Alpine Linux, and then you can use RServe for communication between your OpenBSD system, which you really want to use, and the R system for these strange functions that don't work on OpenBSD. And then once you've done this, I'll show you some of the benefits that come with using OpenBSD system. So the installation of the base system is pretty easy. You use the package add from OpenBSD, and that's just to install the base R. For RStudio, which is a very common but badly named software, you can use package add RStudio. It's badly named because if it's RStudio, you're going to think it's for making music, because of course R is a language for making music. That's how I think about it. But RStudio doesn't make music, it's just an integrated development environment. And if you want to make music, you have to follow my directions for making music. So many people use RStudio. I don't use RStudio, but I make music. Those RStudio users, they're opposers, I think. And anyway, so you've installed R, you've installed maybe RStudio, but for the other packages, you use the internal R function, install packages. Maybe most of you here already know R, because it's kind of a specific thing that came. Did anyone already know about installed packages, for example? Yeah, okay. So maybe I didn't have to talk about all this. The problems you'll have usually is compilation, like I said. So yeah, we'll get to that later. And then when you find the... maybe you're using something that's built on for Linux. So it's using some C function that is considered insecure and deprecated by OpenBSD, and it won't be allowed, or you're using a compiler with a different name. So so these are some of the problems that happen when you try to compile something that was never tested on OpenBSD. To fix it, you read the error message. This is very important. Often the error message says exactly what is going on, but people just think, oh, I'm scared, it's an error message, bad. Yes, so then you can find what is the bug and you can try to fix it. The person responsible for most of the porting of R to OpenBSD is Ingo Feinerer. So you probably wind up talking to him if you try to report the bug. Or you can, of course, fix it yourself. But here we have a problem sometimes, because I talked about a bit of a cultural difference. In R, we have a bit more nuance also. We have the base system, which is kind of managed by one set of people. And then we have this thing called the tidyverse, which is kind of managed by a company. And the first part really follows the GNU ethical criteria, but the second group, the tidyverse people, often are willing to throw away their freedoms. In this group, we often use they often use proprietary disservices as software substitutes, for example, GitHub and Slack. So for example, the base, in fact, R is a part of the GNU project. So R follows the GNU ethical repository criteria. To contribute a patch to base R, you can send an email or use Bugzilla. These are both free possibilities. But to contribute to some of those other packages, I once had an issue where I had a package that worked in RStudio, in the text editor, but it would not work outside the text editor. So I fixed it. But then I tried to contribute my patch, and they required that I create a pull request on GitHub. And this is absolutely not okay, because by doing this, I would be giving up my rights to use free software. I would be succumbing to the proprietary GitHub, and I chose the path of freedom rather than slavery, and as a consequence, my patch has not made it into this library. So in order to continue using that library, well, in fact, there are a few options. First option, which is the one I usually choose, and which is what I chose in this case, is just I don't use the package, because I really don't like most of this tidyverse stuff. But if you really need to, and you can't get it patched because they will not respect your ethical views, you can install GNU Linux, an R inside of the GNU Linux, and you can use RServe for communication between the two. So here is how you would install the Linux in the virtual machine. You can use the virtual machine device that's available in OpenBSD, and then you install Alpine Linux on the virtual machine, and then you can install R and Alpine Linux. And then we'll get to the installation part of RServe, and then you can set it to run as a daemon. So this is how you create the virtual machine. And then this is the OpenBSD configuration file for running it at boot. Here's the R code. And the top is what you run on the GNU Linux system. And that would expose a service that you can connect to with the bottom part from the OpenBSD system. And then you can write a function as if it is running on the OpenBSD system, but it's actually running on the GNU Linux system and it's serialized with the communication. Yes, so now we've succeeded at installing somehow whatever packages we shall use. Now we can take advantage of the special OpenBSD features. I already mentioned the virtual machines. I have some notes about the middle group, the documentation, the daemons, and the firewall. I listed some other cool features that maybe we could talk about, but since it's awfully specific group, specific topic, R and OpenBSD, I suspect maybe you have specific topics that would be interesting to you. You could say them now or later, and we could try to discuss them. Anyone at the moment have a particular topic about R and OpenBSD that you're curious about? No. Okay. Oh, yes?
So are virtual machines related to BSD jails?
The question is, are virtual machines related to BSD jails? And the answer is pretty much no. I'll just take this right now. So there is such a thing as a chroot jail, and that is common in all POSIX systems. Solaris and FreeBSD have things that are sort of more powerful versions of jails. In FreeBSD, they're called jails. In Solaris, they're called... Sorry, Solaris, it was... No, it's not Solaris. It's the new one. The new one that was based on... What was it? The Brian Cantrell and... No, it was Solaris, and then it's probably still available in some other... Anyway, there's zones in Solaris and jails in FreeBSD. But these virtual machines here are, in fact, virtual machines, not jails. So jails are... You're still running as a user on the host system. But the virtual machine, you're running a separate kernel in the virtual machine. So... Yes, and that's why it's possible. For example, we'll stop at that for the virtual machines. So I will discuss some differences in some of the advantages of the documentation and the daemons and the firewall. First is just there are a few entry points to the documentation, but I suppose the FAQ says this is really the first entry point. It explains how to install the base system. And then that would refer you to all the other documentation that's available. And perhaps the main source of documentation is the manual pages, which you access with the man command. Similar to on other Unix-like systems, but the OpenBSD and the BSDs in general have very good manual pages. Now, another thing is it's very easy to create background daemons in OpenBSD. Kids these days like to use systemd on GNU Linux. There are some others available, for example, actually I don't remember any of their names because I don't use GNU Linux, but yes, in case you don't like systemd, there are options on GNU Linux, but also the BSDs don't use systemd. This is how you could create a daemon for the RStudio server. You would write a file like this one. Oh, I see what I did. It's missing, at the top it has to have a shebang bin corn shell. All the daemons work like that. So this file has 6 lines. We're going to break it down into a few parts. The bottom 3 lines are really, you should think of them as boilerplates. This is an ordinary corn shell function, but a corn shell script. But this is the standard way of writing a service, is to copy these lines and configure the rest. In fact, the RC reload is, this is wrong. The RC reload is not part of the boilerplate. This disables the reload command. So this, though, is the main configuration. We say the daemon is this program, the R server program. We run it with these flags. We run it as this user. And when we stop the program, the RC system will look for the process with the name user local bin RStudio bin RServer and with the flags WW ports, and it would kill that process. That's how we can automatically create the stop subcommand. In fact, I think this should be really part of the RStudio port. So I've been meaning to submit this to OpenBSD ports, but also it's so easy to make it, so maybe we don't need to do that. So that was the rc.d. Now we'll talk about some firewall stuff. I trust the R base code. I trust the OpenBSD base code. I don't trust the code on CRAN. I certainly don't trust the code that I write. So for me, it's very important to have a firewall. I'll show an example of how I might configure my R firewall. For the user that's running R, I want to forbid most network access. But I want to allow access to CRAN. I want to allow access to a Postgres database. And if it's running the RStudio server, I will allow outgoing connection, listening on, I will allow the RStudio server to listen. So here are the rules. The PF, the firewall is called PF. PF has two sorts of things that are like variables. The first type is tables, the second is macros. I won't explain the difference, but we say we want a table for the CRAN mirror that we're going to use. We have a table for the database that we're going to use. The user that will be the using R, so we're going to create a firewall rule just for this user, and here are the ports. And we start with block, return, and pass. This says that by default, we will allow everything. So first we allow everything for all users. The network is allowed for all users. But now we will say we will block everything for just the R user. So we're blocking TCP and UDP in, and we're also blocking TCP and UDP out for just the user with the macro use R. So first we start with allow everything. Now we block everything for our user. Now we will allow limited access for our user. So we will allow that the user, the first one, we will allow DNS lookups. Next, we will allow downloading of packages from CRAN. Next, we will allow access to our database. And last, we will allow incoming connections on the RStudio server ports. So this gives you a flavor of some of the advantages of using R and OpenBSD for the good documentation, these various cool features I showed you. The disadvantage, of course, is some things don't work, but I've shown you how to deal with those problems. One last warning. OpenBSD works very well. Very rarely does it crash. And the software is very simple, so it's very easy to understand. And the upgrades work very well. If there is a problem with the upgrade, it's probably documented in the changelog. So it's very easy to upgrade. So I recommend against using this at a job, because it works too well. If you use it at work, your colleagues would think you're not doing anything. And that's because you aren't, because there's nothing to do. It just works. It's important at a job that you use very unreliable, unstable software insecure software, maybe even proprietary software, because that's even more insecure and unstable. That way, you always have things to do, and you will always be stressed and challenged, and people will think you are a good worker. And that's all. Thank you.
Any questions? So thank you for being here. Let's give him a hand.